is found in Exodus chapter 17, verse 12. It says, "But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him and sat it on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I think there's a bad connection. That should be white, not pink. Anyway, we'll see what they can find out. It's good to be back. It's good to be here this morning. I was only gone for 2 weeks, but it seemed like a whole month. And as I looked at the bulletin here, I think Sabrina is becoming more and more handsome every day. We had to substitute quickly. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. How to pray for an hour. Are you serious? I remember the first time I heard some preacher say that to me, how to pray for an hour. Okay, what's this thing doing? There we go. And that's just what I said. That was my answer. I said, are you kidding? How to pray for a whole hour? Well, before we get into that, and you have a handout I want you to follow. It's called the Model Prayer. We're going to come to that in just a moment. But I want to just share a couple things with you. First of all, when I went to that particular church, it was actually a small group training. And one of the sessions in the small group training was how to pray for an hour. And I'll never forget. As the pastor got up there and took us through this process and the steps and on how to pray for an hour, he then dismissed us. Now, this was a seminar, so it was all day, you know, actually for 2 days. So I won't be able to try this on you. But anyway, he dismissed us. Whole church was open. All the rooms were open, unlocked. He says, go anywhere you want in this room, in this building. And he says, and you can pray for an hour. Put into practice what I just taught you. Okay. So I went to some corner somewhere and opened my Bible and began praying and reading texts. And I was praying along, and things were going really good. And then all of a sudden, the pastor gets up front. I was in the corner of the sanctuary. He starts singing. People started getting together and started singing. I thought, come on now. I thought we were going to pray for an hour. I looked at my watch. An hour had gone. I was totally shocked. Totally surprised. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Gary Williams. He used to be a ministerial secretary years ago in the Oregon Conference. And he took a bunch of conference workers, administrators, departmental workers, and he met with them, and he decided he was going to teach them to pray for an hour. And so he taught them, and then he challenged them, you know, that night or the next morning, take an hour and just spend time with God. And the next day, as he continued his seminar, he said, how'd it go? And one of the vice presidents in the union raised his hand. He said, it does not work. And Gary says, well, that's interesting. Did you try it, really? Yes, yeah, I tried it. Well, how long did you pray? Congressman says, well, 40 minutes at the most, 40 minutes. Says, okay, good, good. How long do you usually pray? He says, never mind, it works. It works. Praise God, it works. One of my travels around the world when I was teaching was to go to Korea, South Korea, and I went there and I visited Paul Young-Yi Cho's church. I don't know if you've ever heard of Paul Young-Yi Cho, but he's a pastor in Korea. Matter of fact, he pastors the world's largest church. Are you ready? 850,000 members. One church. I actually went and visited that church. It's a huge church. I wish I had a picture of it here. I actually went to visit that church. It's huge. And they have seven services a day, seven services on Sunday. He preaches the first three, if I remember correct. He actually preaches three times, boom, boom, boom. And then the other services are different pastors preaching. And the fourth service, which is one I went to, was a youth service. And the thing that frustrated me about it, it was a great service, but the thing that frustrated me about it is the three first services are translated into English, and the third service is youth, and it's all Korean. So I got nothing out of the service. But seven services a day. Now, you know how small groups go. You know, we're talking about small groups, and we are learning about small groups. And in your bulletin, you'll see two announcements, number seven and number eight. Read those. Be sure to read those before the week's over, because they're kind of introducing our next move as we start to move forward. And but Paul Young-Yi Cho, are you ready for this? Basically, they teach that his church grew because of small groups. Matter of fact, there's a story that, and it was told to me personally by Craig Dossman. He's a pastor. I don't know where he is right now. He might be retired. I don't know. He and I talked. When he first started pastoring, he was sent out to Southern California somewhere, and he was associate pastor to his brother. And he met with his brother in his church, and they pastored for two or three weeks. And then he told Craig, he says, I want you to stay after church, because he says, I have something I want to give you. And so Craig stayed after church, and he noticed there was a small group of about 20 people maybe, also staying after church. And Craig's brother said, he says, so you think you're called to the ministry? And Craig says, yes, I'm called to the ministry. He said, okay. He says, let's find out. He says, these 20 people are your people. Go and grow a church. You're no longer allowed to come to this church. You and those 20 people, and that's it. If you can grow a church, then I know that you're called to the ministry. Craig was quite surprised, and he met the next Sabbath in a park with these 20 people, and they started growing, and he actually got the church large, got a building, but he worked so hard that he had to go to the hospital. They sent him to the hospital. And the doctor looked at him and he said, you're pushing yourself too hard. You have to let up. You have to take time off. Or you're going to end right back in the hospital. And so Craig got out of the hospital and he continued pushing hard, meeting after meeting, pushing small groups, pushing this. And boom, happened again. Excuse me, he didn't push small groups. He didn't know about small groups yet. But he kept pushing back to the hospital again. Only this time it was so serious that he's in there for weeks. But during that time, he was reading some books on church growth. And he got a hold of the book that Paul Young-Yi Cho read. He wrote several books. And he started reading about it. And he said, I have to go visit this church. And so Craig Dossman went to Korea to visit Paul Young-Yi Cho's church. And he listened to him preach. And he watched everything that was taking place. And he made an appointment with Dr. Cho. Now listen carefully. He made an appointment with Dr. Cho, and he went in his office, and he said, Dr. Cho, he says, I want to grow a church like yours. Tell me your secret. So when I go back to America, I can start growing my church like your church. And Cho looked at him, he says, you seriously want to know? And Craig says, yes, I really want to know. And Dr. Cho gets up out of his chair, walks over to his library, and pulls out two books. Lays them down in front of Craig Dossman, and he said, if you people would just read your own books, you would grow. And the books he showed him was the book Evangelism and Gospel Workers. Amazing, huh? So Cho grows this huge church, but sometimes I wonder, is it just small groups or is it more than small groups? I think it's more than small groups. I think small groups are important, and that's why we're moving that direction, but I think it's more important than small groups, because you know what Cho requires his small group leaders to do? He requires his small group leaders, they must pray for an hour a day or they cannot be a small group leader. Matter of fact, Cho's associate pastors cannot be associate pastors unless they spend at least 2 hours a day in prayer. And Paul Yin Cho himself spends 3 to 4 hours a day in prayer. Wow. They also have a mountain. They actually own a whole mountain. It's called Prayer Mountain. And in that mountain, they got little booths here and there. And people are encouraged, members are encouraged to go spend time on the mountain in prayer. Martin Luther. You know the story of Martin Luther? Here's a little book written by Martin Luther. I couldn't get his signature, but I wish I could have. A Simple Way to Pray. It's about the Lord's Prayer. Paul Yin Cho teaches his people how to pray for an hour with the Lord's Prayer. Martin Luther prayed using the Lord's Prayer. You know? Matter of fact, Martin Luther says, in this book it says, the editor says, he could not get on. He could not get on in the day without 3 to 4 hours of prayer a day. Martin Luther. He would always begin with a passage from the Bible or the Creed. And first he would carefully reflect upon the content of that passage and then meditate upon the power of the Holy Spirit, what he was saying to him personally and through the message he was reading. That's how he began his hour of prayer. So let's take a look at the Lord's Prayer. I don't know. This is a different version. This is an NIV version. I don't know if you can see it or not. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. And this is what he gives them. A simple prayer. Look what the Spirit of Prophecy says. In the Lord's Prayer, we have an example of a perfect petition. Perfect. How simple, yet how comprehensive it is. And this prayer should be taught to the children. Let all study carefully the principles contained in it. Interesting, isn't it? Review and Herald, January 3, 1907. So I want to take a look at the Lord's Prayer. Let's start out by looking right at the very beginning, and I call that praise or worship. and you look at your outline there, it starts out with Our Father. Our Father. Some of you know my story. I had a dad that I am so thankful for. Not everybody has that good of a dad. I'm sorry. We just need to pray for you if you didn't or don't. But my dad, he was incredible. We'd fish and we'd hunt together all the time, year round. If it was hunting season, we'd hunt. If it was fishing season, we'd fish. Got in high school, no matter what sport I entered in, football, basketball, track, he was always there. Even when I was just sitting on the bench, he was there, encouraging, supporting me. I had one of the nicest cars in high school. I may have said this to you before. I had a 48 Ford convertible, robin egg blue, a white top, three-quarter race cam, a V8 with three carburetors sitting on top, and Smitty mufflers. I loved that car. I wish I still had it. My dad was a mechanic. He was a top mechanic. He worked for the county, and he kept my car running smooth. The bad side of that, of course, is I know nothing about mechanics. But he kept that car just running just smooth all the time, all the time. My sisters used to tell me, you know, he says, they'd say to me, you know what? Dad, Mom loves you more than us. I might have been spoiled, but I doubt it. He was a great man. I'm looking forward to heaven, really, to see him again. To let him know how much I love him, because you know what? At the age of 45, I discovered for the first time in my life that he was not my dad. How can a man love a son that much when it's not really his son? If a man, a human being, can love another human being that much, how much more can God? And God, the creator of the universe, the most high God, the one we worship, says to us, call me dad. Now, why don't you have a scripture text out there? I want you to read it. Isaiah 57. We need some roaming mics here. Here's one here, one there. Raise your hand so they can come to you. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Who has that text? There we go, right there. Read. What does Isaiah 57, verse 15 say?
For thus says the one who is on high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite.
Wow. And that's our second phase here. We have a God here who you go ahead and sit down and rest for a second. It'll be a while. We have a God who's the creator of everything. A God who is powerful. A God who is not understandable. I don't understand him. I've said before, you know, the thing about God that is a mystery to me and always will be was the fact that, not that he's always going to be, I can grasp that. But what I can't grasp is he's always been. That's beyond my human comprehension. He's always existed. He created this whole universe that we can't even see any of it, hardly, in comparison. You know, they say you can go out in space and travel one direction and never come to an end. That's the kind of God we have. It just boggles my mind. I can't comprehend it. And yet that same God, our God, humbles himself and lives in us. if we invite him. Lives in us. So it says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name. And if you look on the other side of your sheet there, you'll see I put in some Hebrew names of God. Because in the English language, all we have is the word God. But in Hebrew, he has several names. And we're not going to take time to look all these up, but you can during prayer. That's my whole and my one point. The first phase of a prayer should be praise, should be worship. And we can look at some of these texts, you know, like here we got El Shaddai, Almighty God in Genesis. He's not just God, he's an Almighty God. And you look at another one and you say, Yahweh Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. And then go and read Psalms 23 while you're worshiping. Or you can go, what's another one? El Roy, I'm not good at Hebrew. Anyway, in Genesis 16, the strong one who sees. The strong one who sees. And so these are different names of God that we can just take time, look up, and praise him for who he is. There are times when I'm home by myself. And I all of a sudden realize, okay, God and I need to spend some time together. And so I start out praising his God. I play the music. I turn it up as loud as I want because nobody's home. And I sing like you never heard me sing because you'll never will. To God, because he is so good. I sing to him. I praise him. I thank him. And friends, that's part of what worship is all about. When we talk about prayer, singing to him is part of prayer. So when we're worshiping here, even our hymns and our praise songs, especially, this is all prayer time. This is worship. Count that as part of your hour prayer. Matter of fact, some of you could probably pray for an hour just singing. So don't beat yourself up if you feel like you're not praying for an hour. No. Focus on the Lord's Prayer and say, hey, the first part of the Lord's Prayer is hallowed be your name. Praise him. Praise him for who he is. And then you go to the next section. Excuse me, that's the name. Intercession and petition. I love this section. Who has Revelation 11, verse 15. Revelation 11, verse 15. Who has that one? Okay, right back there. Good.
Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
Amen. So pray that your kingdom comes. Pray that I might have a part in the hastening of the kingdom of God. Pray that God will give me the gifts, that God will give me the courage to do. Going back to Paul and Yeshua, I was reading just this morning. When I prepare for a sermon, I never quit preparing until I walk up here. And I just read a story. It was amazing to me. This minister went to visit Paul and Yeshua because he wanted to know how to have church growth real rapid. And he was walking down the street, and the lady stops him. This lady on the street stops him and says, are you a Christian? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? And he looked at her, and he says, yes, I have. Praise God, she says. I'll pick you up in the morning and take you to church. May we have a part and be so bold in rushing in the kingdom of God. You know, your kingdom come. Do we believe that he's coming? Yeah. Then why aren't we more active in telling that he's coming? You know, why are you? Why am not I? Why are we a little more bold and just share with people, you know, the love of Jesus? And say, he's coming soon. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'll pick you up Saturday and take you to church. I love it. I dare anybody to do that. There's your challenge for the day. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. At these moments, I'm praying. And I'm not just praying for me. I'm praying for my wife. I pray for my children, my grandchildren. And in another month, I'll be praying for a great-grandchild. Only hard part about that is, forgive me for saying this, is being married to a great-grandmother. But I pray that every one of us, including this congregation, will have a part in ushering the kingdom of God. You know, that we will have a part in His will being done here now in our lives and in their lives. I want my children, I want my wife, I want everybody I'm connected with to have a part in ushering in the kingdom of God. And so I pray for them individually. Those on my prayer list, those that requested prayer, I pray that they'll have a part in ushering the kingdom of God and that God's will be done. I pray this constantly. You want to know what's next going to happen? Take the church directory. Five names. Five families a day. Pray for our members. Next day, take five more. Pray for those five that day. Next day, take five more. And ask God to use them in such a way that they'll be able to usher in the kingdom of God. That whatever they do will be according to His will that day. That day. Philippians 4:19. Who has Philippians 4:19? All right. Right back there. Philippians 4:19. There it comes. Philippians 4:19.
But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen. Did you hear that? Every need that we have, He will meet. I didn't say want. I said need. Every need, we will not be without need. He has promised, give us this day our daily bread. He has promised to sustain us, whether it's spiritual or temporal. Whether it's a job, strength, love, special friend, relational needs, wisdom, whatever it is we need, He has promised that He will give it to us. And so lay it on. Lay it on Him. Claim that promise. Not just for yourself, though, but for your mate, for your children, for your grandchildren, for the church members, for those on your prayer list. Are you starting to catch on that praying for an hour is not that difficult? Not when you start looking at the outline that God has given us in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Then I go to the next section. Forgive us our sins. I was so excited when I finally grasped this. Because I used to believe, even as a Christian, that God would not hear my prayers until I confessed all my sins. Have you looked at the Lord's Prayer lately? He's saying, praise me. Tell me your needs. Now, come on, be honest with me and tell me your sins. So He's asking me to pray and ask for what I need. He is not worried about our sins without taking care of us first, even. But then He does get down in the gritty. He says, okay, now confess your sins. Confess your sins. Forgive us our sins. 1 John 1:9. Who has that? All right, brother. There comes the mic. 1 John 1:9.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
What do you have to say about that? Amen. Is there any doubt? You know, the thing I get excited about young people. You realize that young people's faith is strong. I mean, they don't question that God's forgiven them like we adults do, we who are more mature. Yeah, we confess God and we say, I shouldn't have done that. I'm really sorry. Please forgive me that particular incident. And then tomorrow we think about it again and we might confess it again. Believe God. When you share something with him, believe him. He does forgive. Totally. Never comes back. Casts us into the depths of the sea, far as the east is from the west. It's as if, are you ready? As if you never sinned. That's how much he loves you. More reason to confess our sins and get rid of them. Get out of our lives. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. And that's why we have to be so careful about talking about one another. You know, you start criticizing somebody for something they did wrong that they've already confessed. God doesn't see it, and you still do. Whoops. Let's learn to forgive each other like God. Wow, that'd be incredible, wouldn't it? Let's forgive. But then he goes on. He says, when you're praying, he says, don't only confess your sins, but he also says, what? As we forgive those who sin against us. Wow. Those who against us. Hebrews 12:15 says, we are to store no bitter root in our minds. No bitter root in our minds. And Matthew 18:21, I love that one. Remember that one? Matthew 18, what does it say? It says, Peter says, Lord, but how many times shall I forgive them? Seven times? What does Jesus say? Yeah, he says seven times. You know what the new NIV says? 77 times. I dare you to keep track of that many. 77. Forgive them 77 times. Yeah. If you get that far, start over again. But then he goes on and said, and lead us, and forgive those, as we forgive those who, I'm stuttering here, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And I almost take this as, when I confess my sins, I better not be holding grudges against somebody else. Should be automatic. And I have to tell you a story carefully. I pastored a church way back there somewhere. And an individual in that church absolutely did not like me that much as their pastor. I know it's hard to believe, but. And they kept causing constant problems in my ministry, constantly. And it became so frustrating, the undermining and the talk and the decisions that were being made constantly. And it was just one person with a little small group of supporters that I had to finally come to the place, the first time, the last time in my ministry I ever did this. I went to the conference office and says, please move me. Please move me. And they did. One day, several years later, I was praying. And I was talking to God, and I was going through the Lord's Prayer. And I says, you know, sharing with him my frustrations, my hurts, and moving through the Lord's Prayer, lead us not in temptation. And God says to me, wait. I says, what? He says, you skipped something. And forgive those who have sinned against you. and that name came to me like that. I said, but God, you don't understand. They almost destroyed my ministry. Forgive those who have sinned against you. So I did. And to this day, that person and I are very close. We spend time together. We eat together. We visit each other. And I have to just praise God. Because He not only forgives, but He puts forgiveness in our hearts. Try it. Right, and you'll be blessed. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So I continually praying for everybody, myself, everybody on my prayer list, the church family. When I was a professor, I pray for my students. Pray for victory and praise for His promises. James chapter 4 says, resist the devil and he flee from you. Come near to God, and He'll come near to you. In 1 John 4:4, the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. Greater. In Philippians 4:13, 14, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. And so you go through all this, and you end up the same place you begin. Praise. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And someone has Revelation chapter 5, our last passage I want to share. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 to 14. There it is back there.
And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I saw, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worship Him who lives forever and ever.
Amen. Friends, that's what we got to look forward to. Wow. We got to look forward to the things that eye has not seen nor ear heard, what God has prepared for us. We should be praising Him constantly with our voices, in word, in song. Just praise His name. I have a question. How many are you going to try it? Using the Lord's Prayer. Praise God. Praise God. Do it. Do it. It's an exciting experience. Now I'm going to share one more thing with you, and then we're going to call it quits. Once a year, maybe twice a year, we as a congregation are going to have a concert of prayer. We as a congregation will do what we just now did, only we'll actually do it, not talk about it. And we'll walk through the Lord's Prayer for the whole church service. May God bless you and keep you. May you know that He loves you with all His heart. And may you praise His name continually, is my prayer. Amen.
If you want to follow along in your hymnals, it's 503. Let's stand as we sing.
Father, that's our prayer. Just bless us and use us and help us to be loving and kind to everyone. We thank you for this time of worship and pray that you'll continue to be with us and that we'll continue to be with you throughout the weeks and months and years to come till you come in your glory. Bless us as your people, I pray. Keep us strong in you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.